I like .biz because it always sounds techy, regardless of whether it is or not. You know, it always sounds like Mike's used tires .biz. Nobody else gets that impression from .biz domain names, do they?
No.
Where is that one? He said he was going to get a glass of water and clear his throat.
Probably.
Normally, when we.
Blizzard gives thumbs up to Newell's Windows 8 catastrophe comment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't going to talk about that either, because last time I started talking about operating systems, everyone just went dead silent.
That's fine.
But this one involves Gabe Newell.
Lots of things involve Gabe Newell.
Not enough things involve Gabe Newell.
You know, it's a force of gravity between objects, and Gabe Newell is greater than that between objects and most other people.
Nice fat joke.
Thank you. I was up all night working on it.
I would applaud, but I'm lying down.
Right. Can someone slap me so that I wake up? Because I'm still half asleep.
Doesn't Dodds have like a like, you know, doesn't
Yeah,
it live under
I
your
just
desk
slapped
or
my
something?
mic. I hope it worked.
Yeah, I think it did. Okay. Beep. 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 This week on Gentlemen Discussing Vidya!
Dogsworth, fetch my wig!
Maybe they could just get together at each other's apartments and, you know, cry a little.
And have rough sex.
The term is hentai, you uncultured swine!
Gaijin.
Didn't you say that people were surprised when they saw a black man in town?
No, they called the police when they saw a black
yeah.
man in town, yeah.
Well, that's a form of
Wait,
surprise.
What?
I vomited in my mouth.
There was a doll that had a fully functional flashlight in it. I'm not proud of knowing that.
I'm now what? Standing outside of my car
Future
on the
gaming.
Precipice of this bridge,
this
looking
is the
into the very
gaming.
Quiet river.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather be inside, virtual farting with a friend? Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. My name is Catsman, and with me today, Dodds.
Howdy.
Everdark.
Hello.
Happy Man.
Hi.
Juju.
Hey.
Taco Man.
Hello.
And Wan Wan.
Hello.
Oh god, I'd never get tired of Wan's voice.
Oh. Please go.
So, we start, as we do every week, with the bigger stories of the week. A hot topic in the news right now is the Ouya, an Android-powered homebrew console that appeared on Kickstarter recently for just 100 American moon monies apiece. While the idea sounds good in principle, a cheap, indie-friendly console with no publishers, no licensing to worry about, the dubious claims made by the company behind it have been attracting some negative attention, chiefly among them, needlessly optimistic deadlines for getting the console developed, the implication that certain games, like Minecraft, will be Ouya compatible when their creators have denied any involvement with the company, and the fragmentation of the Android platform due to its fast-moving release cycle. Have any of you guys backed this project, or do you feel like it's a little bit too risky and should probably be avoided at all costs?
I was going to back it, but then I read the specs, and all it is a... It's got the same specs as a phone.
Well, yeah, that's why it costs 100 moon monies.
No!
Indie games still need more than that because they're retro.
Well...
You don't get it, Juan.
I'm sorry.
You're not deep enough for us.
Well, you say that, but I'm pretty sure on one of their concept pictures they showed Madden on, like, their big screen.
Yeah, but that's the thing. All their concept pictures are bullshit and they're full of games that don't actually run on the Ouya.
Why did this even need a Kickstarter, though? It feels to me like they're just milking the whole Kickstarter craze.
Well, I mean, there is some legitimate Kickstarter projects out there. I mean, where would you get $5 million worth of investors for a console no one's ever heard of, other than Kickstarter?
Can I just quickly add a game from Kickstarter that I think people should fund, because it just looks ridiculously fun?
What?
It's called Castle Story. Good God, man, that's the best game idea I've seen in ages.
I've like, seen it, that looks fun.
Yes, it's like Lego and computer had, made love. That's what
it's like
say.
Lego and computer had made love.
Okay. I can't hit English today. The Queen's too busy monitoring the Olympics, so she's like, oh, cool.
The Queen. No, the Queen wasn't like, oh, cool. The Queen was like, I'm mildly unhappy right now.
Yeah, she looked bored. But
look at
this
all
isn't
these
the topic.
Countries I used to own.
Oh, God.
I think they should have focused the camera on the Queen's face when that rapper came on stage. I wanted to see her reaction. Like, the entire last segment, pretty much. I just wanted to see what the Queen felt.
The Queen's has a pretty miserable life, and lives in like squalor, doesn't she?
No, just like I feel so sorry for an old woman whose pension is paid by millions of British people. I feel so sorry for her.
I wish my pension was paid by millions of British people. Imagine the ways in which I could convince them. Oh yeah, and the pretty hat—the hat with the feather in it. Yeah. I think that's the main perk.
I have a pimp hat that I won at a carnival. It's pretty swag.
Wish I had a pimp hat that I won at a carnival. The only hat I have is like a trilby that I've never worn in case people mistake it for a fedora.
Dang. Damn hipsters.
I know. I bought it before
everything.
Fedoras were cool, and now fedoras are cool. I don't want to wear it.
On a quick fashionable note, I got my previously long and fabulous haircut into a 40s rockabilly style.
Excellent.
Needless to say, my parents were mad.
I'm pretty sure we're going off-topic subject now. This is getting out of hand.
Anyway, carry on.
Yes, we are meant to be talking
turning
about
into a Family Guy
Queen.
Episode.
So yeah, the Queen's miserable, and the Olympics started. Not
I
really
think
much
the Queen's
talking.
Miserable because she realizes this hipster console is a waste of money.
You never know with these things, I do. That's the point. I think it's
her fingers can't work an Android phone. She was all excited, and then she realized it was scum.
If you're backing something that's worth any amount of money, you should be prepared for it to fall absolutely flat, upon its face. Just absolutely flat. Just, like, go absolutely nowhere and perhaps not even be made. And if you're not prepared for that eventuality, then don't friggin' back it.
That's why I didn't. We also had Vancouver was going to have a gamer bar open up somewhere around here. And it was a really cool idea. But the problem that came up was that they wanted to have, like, a game console or something at every table. But the liquor licensing board of BC said, like, no video games in bars. So.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Something to do about the fact that video games would attract children or something. So.
That's bullshit,
they said, like,
man.
Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, if you're trying to, you know, appeal to children, like, we're just going to shut you down. And then they're like, I don't really fucking get it.
But kids can't go to bars.
That's the whole fucking point. It's like, even if it does pander to children, you don't let the kids in anyways. It would just be a cool place to go get drunk and play video games with friends without wrecking your own house. Because I go get drunk to get wrecked.
I never wreck my own house.
You haven't gone drinking with me.
Who's guilty of ruining things in my house is Doya.
Those were the good days.
I also just wreck other people's houses.
But, yeah, anyways, an Android console, it's a neat idea, but just bad.
I hope it goes somewhere, because, you know, I, like, even on PC now, if you're an indie game, you have to be either DRM-free or on Steam or on Desura or somewhere like that, or no one's going to take you seriously.
You know, it's a really cool idea for Android phones and Android technology.
What?
Is these little rings with, like, it has, like, a joystick and some buttons on it, or like a D-pad.
That's from another Kickstarter.
It is from another Kickstarter, but I would back that. Yes.
No, it's such a bad idea.
Fingers all over your screen.
I wouldn't. It didn't look like a good idea at all.
I like the idea. Can someone explain this to me?
Basically, it's a very, very bad hipster came up with the idea that a ring...
Right, you're not selling me on the idea that you're from a neutral perspective.
Let me explain it. Like Juan was saying, a hipster came up with an idea that you could put a controller on your finger for, like, games on an Android phone, because most Android interfaces every Android interface pretty much is touchscreen, right? And if you're playing games on it, you're getting your fingers all in there, and sometimes it's not exactly 100%, and it's not exactly the easiest to control sometimes. So what they came up with was, like, well, what if we put a little Bluetooth ring with the controls on it, and then you're not getting your fucking fingers all over your screen and, you know, blocking
it. What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this?
The only issue with it is not only to use it to its fullest extent, you need apps that are optimized for said ring. There's also videos of you still having to touch the screen while using the ring, so what's the point?
You buy two rings.
How am I going to use a D-pad that's smaller than, like, my thumbnail?
It should have been a joystick.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage.
This is going to become a new segment, isn't it? Kickstarter of the week.
Oh,
that's
yes.
A good idea.
That is a good idea. In fact, I'm going to look up some right now.
With, like, yeah, so I think we should devote some time to showcasing good Kickstarters as well, because there are many good Kickstarters that go on, and Kickstarter sometimes gets a bad name for being full of stupid ideas, but there is the occasional diamond in the rough.
We're
going to have a segment that focuses on positivity. Are you kidding me? That's unprecedented, I think.
Hey, man.
This should be gentlemen arguing about video games, not talking about them.
Got me a sequel to Chip's Challenge, alright? Do you have any idea how long I've been waiting for a sequel to Chip's Challenge? I've pretty much been waiting my entire life.
That's a long time.
That is well, it's not really that long a time.
Well, that's all the time I've ever had.
Grant Kirkhope, Rare's former composer, has been blunt about Microsoft's situation with Rare. He says, "I think Rare have completely fucked themselves. And it isn't their fault, it's Microsoft's fault. They've completely ruined that company, and it makes me cry every day of my life." That's actually what he said.
That's quite a claim.
It's rare to hear someone inside the industry slag off another company, regardless of how true what they're saying is. You just don't do it because it makes you unemployable in the future.
Yeah, that's going to look bad on his resume there.
Rare's latest title is Kinect Sports Series 2. Does anyone here die a little inside when they remember great games like Snake Rattle and Roll and Battletoads?
I remember Banjo-Kazooie, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Perfect Dark.
Kinect Sports Season 1.
They did Donkey Kong, right? Like on the Super Nintendo? Or
they did those, yeah. I didn't really like those that much. Although I have been I've been getting into the Rareware Donkey... Not the Rareware, the Retro Donkey Kong recently. And it has dawned on me that Retro is just the new Rare.
I should hope so.
I think I might even like them more than Rare. Yeah, see? Exactly.
They both start with an R. It was meant to be.
Donkey Kong Country Returns is excellent, although it has perhaps the most annoying crabs in any video game ever. Crabs are like the bats of that game. But yeah, so Rare have completely fucked themselves, and it makes Grant Kirkhope cry every day of his life.
So it's like, what's his face from Capcom? I was making a running gag out of him a little while back.
Eiji Inafune.
Yeah, like
he doesn't
Keiji
cry
and his
every
his
apart- day.
Maybe
though.
Maybe they could just get together at each other's apartments and, you know, cry a little
and have rough sex.
Maybe they can. Maybe it'll remedy their depression and they'll, you know, get better jobs or something.
Inafune doesn't need to cry. He turns into a battleship now in his latest game rather than a sword. So
exactly,
he's
really?
Fine.
He did it again.
Yeah, battleship. His face is just like
Jesus Christ.
I think this is a much better use of Inafune than what Capcom were doing with him.
Yeah, I guess he has moved on to better pastures.
When is he going to make his own game, though, instead of just making cameo appearances in RPG parodies?
Well, that's a good start.
RPG parodies that feminists really hate.
It's a good start.
It's just his head, and it looks like it's stapled on. Not even got a very high poly count.
I think that's the joke.
What, Keiji Inafune is...
low polygon Keiji Inafune just thrown in your game. I mean, shit, if I could make video games, I'd put a low polygon Keiji Inafune in my game. That'd be pretty awesome.
Not yourself, you'd put Keiji Inafune.
Fuck no.
No.
I'd rather put somebody cooler than me. If I could have, like, I don't know, a Keiji Inafune battleship and a Shigeru Miyamoto battleship fighting each other or some shit, that should be a video game in itself.
I'd have a hard gay battleship. Oh, yes.
We should make a video game about this, just something like that.
What would we do? Make it an RPG maker? Oh, and put it on Kickstarter. Brilliant.
Hell yeah, look, exactly. We'll throw it on Kickstarter. And it'll be, I don't know, developer battleship. And we'll have Liam Neeson make a guest appearance.
Which one's he?
Liam Neeson was in the Battleship movie.
Oh.
He's from the movie Taken.
I didn't watch the Battleship movie.
He was Jean Valjean. He was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Nope, never heard of him. Also, I don't know who Qui-Gon Jinn is, and I don't want to find out, so don't tell me.
I think... but anyways... what were we talking...
you were about to say it.
Maybe. In any case, I think it's a little unprofessional to slag another company, but at the same time, it's like, well, he's just voicing everybody else's opinion.
Grant Kirkhope, voice of the truth. We love you, Grant.
We do, but
that's
your
my
future
opinion.
Employers might
everyone
not.
Everyone else hates you, but Gather Your Party will love you.
I'm going to regret this, but who is Grant?
He's Rare's former composer.
Oh yeah, I forgot you said this at the beginning.
Yeah, right. I prefer the composer they had before, who did the music for Snake, Rattle and Roll.
Was he responsible for The Mighty Pooh?
Quite possibly.
Whoever did that was 10 out of 10 modern age Beethoven.
I think I heard a rumor that Weird Al actually did the lyrics for that. Not the singing, but he actually wrote it out.
Wouldn't surprise me. He normally does manufacture shit.
Tortanic executive producer Rich Vogel flees BioWare in one of the last remaining lifeboats. The Old Republic has lost 400,000 subscribers in the past few months alone. His resignation happens amid huge layoffs at BioWare Austin. Gentlemen, did you know that BioWare bought an unfinished, undocumented prototype version of the Hero Engine more than half a decade before it was officially launched? And that's why the Old Republic is an extremely buggy, underproduced, and expensive WoW clone.
I would actually like to take this moment to, do a little bump for somebody who did something for Gather Your Party.
Oh, is this the...
Hold up. There is a video.
This is the Old Republic video, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same one I watched, and I thought it was fab.
Let's board Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yes, that's the one.
By Mandalore Gaming. It's on YouTube here, and there's a little Gather Your Party thing in it somewhere, so I assume it's related to Gather Your Party in some sense, but...
Yeah.
It's pretty well done, in my opinion, and it explains all the downsets to it. It explains the whole... the whole quirk to the unfinished engine that, fucking BioWare wanted to, kind of press on its employees for some strange reason. when there's all these other options that they had.
Why would you buy an unfinished and undocumented engine?
Undocumented.
It's crazy. And how the people who made Hero Engine specifically advised them against buying it.
Like, they were like, yeah, we'll take your money, but just as a little disclaimer, if you do take it, you will regret it.
It's like, hey, dudes, did you know that if like, developing this game will cost $50 million, right? But if we have all our developers standing on their head, it'll cost $300 million.
See, that's the thing. They had $300 million to develop this game, and what did they do? They chose the shittiest option possible for the fucking groundwork of their game.
That's the thing. I think someone else must have bought the Hero Engine and brought it to all the programmers, and all the programmers are like, I can't work with this, this is impossible. And then the guy's like, we've got $300 million, you can have as long as you need.
I don't get it. It's just sort of like, the whole thing was that they took this unfinished project, gave it to the employees and said, just, if you find any problems, fix it yourself. And, oh, by the way, there's no fucking, you know, whatever the little things are that in the programming that people leave behind, so you can actually tell what the fuck's going on. It's been a few years since I've done programming, so I don't remember. But I just don't understand how they could have just, that's like the worst business decision to make ever.
WoW killer.
Surely it is a WoW killer, considering you got 6 nominees in the Game Developers Choice Awards.
Oh yeah, the Game Developers Choice Awards, yeah.
Amazing.
Does anyone actually know the actual people who decide these awards?
I've never heard of it before, honestly.
It's EA themselves, isn't it?
Probably. It's probably some shit like fucking Spike's VGA or something. It's just paid advertising.
Who decides those? Is it whoever gives them the most advertising money?
I think so.
I think it's not the fans. They mentioned a game not developed in America for 5 minutes to satisfy all the people who complained that it focused 100% on American games and didn't even mention, like, European games or Japanese games or Canadian games, for that matter.
I've just looked, and a guy who actually, the production director at Blizzard Entertainment, actually is on the committee. There's quite a few people, but he is actually on it. ZeniMax is there, Riot Games, the people who did League of Legends. BioWare's there.
Well.
We won the Game Developers Choice Awards, guys.
I called it. Yep.
And there's someone from friggin' Zynga, which explains why there's a best social network game category.
Oh, good.
And why there's three Zynga games on it.
From yeah.
Oh,
it's like,
my
what, three
God.
Games out of four or something? Or how many nominations are there per category?
This is not how you run an awards show. This would be like you running a film awards show and getting George Lucas to decide all the awards. You absolute fuckwits, GDC.
This is a product placement award.
Best audio. Indiana Jones Adventure World from Zynga Boston. Come on.
Excuse me?
Social networking game?
Cut that part out.
That no one's heard of?
Cut that little part out.
No.
I could name like a dozen games with, you know, fantastic audio tracks. It doesn't make sense. I think you've ruined my day now. I'm going to have to leave the podcast and go to bed, I think.
Excellent. Just as long as I can ruin someone's day. Which news thing was this meant to be about? Oh yeah, Tortanic, that's right, yes. So Tortanic won every award and is the best game ever made. Okay?
I can agree to that.
I vomited in my mouth.
I was tempted to try the free trial thing because now it's gone, like, you know, free till what, level 20 or something?
Yeah, which is more than I play most MMOs to.
Yeah, I usually get to about level 20 and then I'm done. Like, I played World of Warcraft for about 2 months, got to level 20 and stopped.
Final Fantasy VII launches on PC. Normally, I wouldn't mention this, but it is literally, it's just too pathetic not to talk about. The game is launching again on PC, despite the fact that it was already ported to PC when it was first released. The game will also feature a character booster, which Squeenix say will let players increase HP, MP, and guild levels to their maximum, all with a simple click of a button. The website boasts that this will leave you to enjoy your adventure. When asked whether this would be microtransaction DLC, a la Mega Man X on the iPhone, which basically let you pay to have the game beaten for you, Squeenix denied. Now, this is hilariously pathetic, isn't it?
So they just pretty much said, like, well, if you find your game too hard, here's a way to win it instantly.
So if they made this a transaction button, it would literally be pay to win.
If they did. Mega Man X on iPhone had a pay to win button.
I guarantee they'll do it. I'll bet everything.
How pathetic is it to have pay-to-win in single-player games?
It's hilarious. It might not be pay-to-win, don't forget this one, but you're right. Having anything to win, push a button to win in a single-player game.
Wait, though. The thing, though, you're saying here, if it's not pay-to-win, that would imply that it's free, which would mean that they're releasing a game where, hey, if you're having difficulty, just press this button and you will win. That is the most ridiculous. It's just sort of like, It's like what Hamburger Helper was saying, you know, a few years back. You know, I find video games too hard, and I think the writing should be focused on more. It's like, well, what the fuck are you playing a video game for? Go read a book.
The context of that was that she was like pregnant and had like two other children at the time and didn't have time to play video games.
No, she said she didn't like video games.
She did.
That's what she said.
She said she was a writer, not a gamer.
She's misquoted on this, and it's hard to tell which one's a fact and which one a fiction. So
I really don't care at this point. But the point is that this is literally a win button. There should just be a big, poorly made, like, friggin' win button. Just win, that flashes on screen, and anytime you feel like winning the game, you just click that.
And the little Final Fantasy fanfare
and
plays.
And it skips to the point where Aeris dies. Spoilers.
Oh, you bitch, you spoiled it, you bitch.
You have to edit that out.
Yes, I will.
Gotta edit that. And the racial slurs.
Which racial slurs?
The ones that you edit out.
Oh, right, yes, of course, yes. I will edit those out. I know exactly which slurs you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, win button, and it's going to have cloud saving. Get it? Cloud saving?
Oh,
funny joke.
Funny joke, sir. But other than that, it's just a straight-up port. Like, it doesn't have HD resolution or textures or anything. They didn't do anything to pretty it up because it's like, what, fucking 16 years old now?
It looks like ass. It looks like complete ass, and they haven't changed anything. And they say they're not content to remake it until they've made something that is better than it.
So is it going to be widescreen at least, or is it like anything?
I don't know.
They have made something better than it. I'm, of course, talking about Final Fantasy XIII too. They already made something better.
I was saying something about that game recently. I didn't even realize it came out. Is it like Final Fantasy X-2 or something? Is it the same type of thing?
I wish it was that as hilarious as Final Fantasy X-2, but it's just bad. It just looks bad.
I watched my roommate play it. The only reason I know it exists is because I saw him playing it. I was like, what the hell is this? Final Fantasy XIII? I don't remember it looking like this. And he's like, oh no, it looks like that. And then 13-2 and all that. And then he just sort of looks away from the TV in the middle of a fight, puts the controller down. And he's like, oh yeah, it just came out a little while ago. Goes over to the kitchen, grabs a drink, comes back just as the fight's finishing. And he won.
Was he making a joke? Or was that like, was that just something he did?
I don't know if he was joking or if he was just showing off or what, but he put down the controller, went over to the kitchen, poured himself a glass of something, I don't fucking know.
You can do that in Earthbound, though.
How
you can.
Yeah, but...
Come on, Happy Man.
But that's, like, that's not active time battle. Of course you can put the controller down any time.
Yeah, this is active. Like, things are still attacking you if you're not making your decisions and shit.
What? I didn't realize that. I thought it might be like an auto fight, like Earthbound.
There's an auto fight. Like you just say, okay, go. And your dudes attack, they attack, everything just goes and attacks, and you can literally just leave, put the controller down and walk away.
Don't your characters also have like they can sort of keep healing themselves also?
Yep.
When I was playing Final Fantasy 13, I had it so that I had two healers in a party and one dude just fucking ganking shit. And I could just put the controller down, walk away during a boss fight, and come back, and I'd still be doing okay.
That's because the fight's still going on because of the shit ton of HP. Heard about that problem with that game.
I did the exact same thing in 13, where I just walked away during a boss fight to see if I could win it, and I came back, and it was still fucking going.
Fun fact, Dark Souls uses the opposite mechanic, that if you put down your controller, you die.
Oh, that sounds pretty innovative to me. By the way, it's not on the agenda, but is anyone here getting Dark Souls when it comes out on PC?
I just want to take this moment to kind of advertise myself. I'm doing another Drink Souls stream in celebration, and I'll wear my pimp hat, and I'll get really, really drunk. I'm doing it again.
Sounds
Taco,
good.
You need to let me join you on that one.
Yeah, you and LMC, anyone who wants to join in on that one, because apparently the servers won't be absolute shit, and it'll be easier to co-op. Because I still have trouble trying to co-op with people on the fucking PS3 version.
Would it be a local host, or will they have virtual servers?
I think it's local hosting again, like peer-to-peer or something. I think they're doing it pretty much the same way.
I can't connect to an iceberg. Really good.
Yeah, they're keeping everything as similar as possible, I think.
Well, I have a pretty bitching fucking connection, like, you know, so I don't think it'll be a problem if you join me, but for, you know, me joining other people, it depends on their connection. Don't worry, I'm not like some little fucking kid with 56k modem out in the middle of bumblefuck nowhere.
That would be me.
That's me.
Everdark, it's somewhere not as in your bad country of a thousand as my lakes. Internet connection was. It's not as bad. BT Infinity is actually good though.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Very surprised.
BT, oh, you cats, man, I just... Oh, please.
What?
BT.
What?
Horrifying.
What?
Go with Virgin. Don't be
Why?
Idiot.
Virgin doesn't offer fiber optic in our area. In fact,
Virgin doesn't even have a cable down here.
They don't even offer anything down here at all. I think the only provider that even comes to this area is BT.
Yeah, that's because you're in some watershed farmland where people still use swords as weapons.
Watershed
farmland. Just...
You're literally somewhere where Gandalf and a group of dwarves walked by asking where Bilbo Baggins lives.
There are those church down the street who all, you know, they have their weird little church gatherings. And I saw one of them taking a crucifix to the field earlier.
Didn't you say that people were surprised when they saw a black man in town?
No, they called the police when they saw a black man in town. Yeah.
Well, that's a form of surprise.
What? Just don't worry about it, Everdark. It's just like, you know, don't ever move to this part of the UK. It's pretty dull. It's like
Royston Vasey. I'm not black, so it doesn't
is
really matter
dark
to
black?
Me. No, I am not.
Not
I
yet,
know you
anyway.
Black. I get it now. Everdark. I totally get it now. I'm so
my
sorry about my
out.
Racial slurs.
Oh, shit.
That is totally not a racial slur.
That one wasn't. But I can be sorry all the same.
Should we get back on topic?
No, this
What's
is much
topic?
More fun.
Never.
The gentleman's politically correct association.
Exactly. Never topic. I am anti-topic.
Treyarch reveals the villain of their upcoming first-person murder simulator, Black Ops 2. According to GameRanks, Randall Men... Is that... Randall Menendez, described as the idolized messiah of the 99%, is a Julian Assange-like character who's old, experienced, and hell-bent on starting global insurrection against the status quo. So, my question is, do you think this game will provide a nuanced and thoughtful depiction of class warfare in the 21st century, or will it just be a corporate America circle joke that needlessly attempts to vilify a mostly directionless series of protests?
Call of Duty and Forge do not belong in the same sentence. Carry on.
Call of Duty and plot don't belong in the same category. Like, every other Call of Duty game has literally been like, here's the main character, 5 minutes later, dead. And then, oh, here's the second main character of the plot, dead. Here's the fourth main character of the plot, dead. Here's your 15th main character in the third game for 7 minutes, and dead.
Like, here's a very bad British accent as well, while you're at it.
But the point is like, why are they suddenly turning around to a game where the only focus for the fucking game is the multiplayer? Like, it's unabashedly, that's the only reason people fucking play the game.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who play the game have, you know, probably aren't even smart enough to understand what a plot is. Like, you know, it's a bunch of 10-year-olds who scream random obscenities at, you know, other children, and in the hopes that, you know, they'll get upset and throw their controller through their television or something. Why are they focusing so much on the plot all of a sudden?
I don't know. I thought they always focused on the plot. I thought, well, I know the story campaigns are like 3 hours long, but I thought they made a big deal of them anyway.
They have about as much plot as a Japanese cartoon porno.
Hey, don't you talk shit about my hentai.
But with less boobs.
The term is hentai, you uncultured swine.
Gaijin.
Happy man knows his shit.
Happy man knows his hentai.
Yeah, I watched that fucking gun anime.
Oh, right. Oh God.
So
the point is that's just stupid. This Black Ops shit's still going on. It doesn't even have anything to do with the other one, does it? They just wanted a game that had the word Black Ops in it, so people would be like, hey, look, another Black Ops game. I sure like that last one's multiplayer. And then they're going to buy it and be like, you know, like, well, this has nothing to do with Black Ops, but I enjoy shooting other people because the multiplayer is so swell.
I love when they demoed it at E3 and all they showed was a guy looking down a sniper scope for like 10 minutes. Like, this is the best possible way to show off all the best aspects of our game.
I love it when they demoed Modern Warfare 3 at E3 and the controller got disconnected the first thing that happened.
Really?
That was great.
The powers of E3 even knew what horror would come from this. Stop at 2, they said, and they didn't.
Did they say stop at 2?
Who said stop at 2?
I said stop at 2.
And you didn't.
No, I did. I stopped at 2. I don't know why the fuck they didn't.
A little bit of 1, and I was like, this isn't really very fun. And I played a little bit of 3, and I was like, nope, this still isn't very fun. And then I played a little bit of 4, and I was like, why am I still attempting to play these games?
Modern Warfare 1 was good, 2 was okay, and then it sort of got just... it was a cookie-cutter game. And then the whole fucking first-person shooter downfall of video games began.
Sing bass. Daddy'll sing bass. Daddy'll sing bass. Daddy'll sing bass.
I took my boat for a car. I took that car for a ride. I was trying to get somewhere, but now I'm following the traces of your fingernails that run along the windshield on the boat of car.
Daddy'll sing bass.
Traces of your fingernails that run along the windshield on the boat of car. On the boat of car. On the boat of car.
That's oh, actually, that's all the news I have. So, yeah, someone else say some news.
Are we saving Kickstarter games till next podcast, or can I mention one which really had me taken?
Okay, go on.
Is it Castle Story?
No, it's not just Castle Story. It's Volgar the Viking. It's the coolest indie game I've seen in a while. You're literally just a Viking, and you just wreck everything known to man.
Okay, sell it to me.
Doesn't sound like a chip challenge too so far.
A lot of chips challenge. Ugh. Anyway, Volgar the Viking, 2D side-scrolling arcade adventure game, stylized in pixel art, of course, because it's an indie game. I can't really justify it to you. It's just action-packed. It's like Contra with a sword.
You can't justify it to me. Why did you bring it up?
Hey, he said Contra with a sword, and you're apparently not interested.
he wasn't selling it to me, but then he said Contra. And I was like, yeah, Contra with a sword. Holy shit.
I just found Volgar the Viking on Google, and it's about a 8-year-old kid with a wooden sword. I don't think I have the right one.
Hang on, Wan, I'm looking at videos of this, and I have to say, it doesn't look as good as that. Is it Maldita Castilla? Maldita Castilla, that's the one. Yeah, it actually looks inferior to that.
Catsman, please, it's a good-looking idea. And if they actually pull off the stuff they're promising, then I hope it will be good.
You're right, it looks pretty cool. I don't know whether it's 10 American Moon Money's cool. I got Onikin in the Indie Royale bundle, and I'm still playing that because it's so amazing.
Yes, it is. I love that game. It's hard, though.
Yeah, it hits a massive difficulty spike like halfway through as well. Like, I was doing up okay up until like the forest level, and then the forest level came, and it was like, bitch, you're going to be doing this level for the next 3 hours. I was like, all right.
Mm. Anyway, the main reason I liked Volgar the Viking was because there was the level of swordplay in it, which I suppose. It's just the way they demonstrated the swordplay in the video. It looks like really lucid for a pixel game. It just looked lucid.
So there you go. There's your recommendation: is lucid swordplay, gentlemen.
Except Peter Molyneux.
I'm surprised Peter Molyneux didn't put his block game on Kickstarter.
At least I didn't say whistle.
He doesn't need to put it on Kickstarter.
Now, for each Kickstarter bit you donate, the more the block will disappear.
That's basically what it is, isn't it? It's a Kickstarter video game. And when the block disappears entirely, you get Molyneux's next 21 games, which will hopefully be better.
I was looking for some bad Kickstarters, but I didn't find anything.
I don't think, like, aside from tropes versus women in video games, I haven't found anything that I particularly, like, think is a shameless money grab that doesn't actually need the money.
Like, I found one for a brony body pillows, but, like, I didn't find any bad games. I didn't find anything we could discuss at the end. Yep, hold on, I'll send you the link.
Hang on
a minute.
I didn't think they were allowed to do that. I didn't think they were allowed to use other people's characters on their things.
Hasn't gotten to see me yet.
Maybe they are original characters.
Oh, I don't
original
think so.
Original ponies.
Nope.
For your pleasure.
My Little Pony Fleshlight Collection.
It's probably
Does
out there.
Does that exist?
Probably exists, yeah.
There was a doll that had a fully functional fleshlight in it. I'm not proud of knowing that. I wish I did.
I love the awkward silence.
I like the awkward silence.
I was listening to a different podcast, and they mentioned it. I looked at it, and I wish I didn't.
Juan found it.
Thanks, man.
I don't know what to say other than please end my life.
I'm not even going to click on that. I don't want to acknowledge the existence of something like this. Like, I've begun to accept and, you know, just, like, sort of let people who do that sort of do that, but then it's like, no, I don't want this to go on. I just, I want to end my life now. Just, I live near a bridge, and it's looking more and more appealing every day.
The thing about My Little Pony is, right, it's a mind virus, okay? That's what I would describe it as. It's a mind virus.
What, like how Christians say being gay is a virus?
Well, it's a brain problem. It sort of transmits itself from person to person, and as a person is exposed to it more, you begin to see more and more negative symptoms. So maybe at first they will watch it and shut up about it, and then after a while they might, you know, have a wallpaper or an avatar on Steam. They might say that. After a while, they might begin to say every pony instead of everybody, or what the hey instead of what the hell. And that really annoys people. Really annoys me.
I'm going back to complaining about every facet of that now.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yes, they do.
Anyway, before you
know it, I know people who don't swear say what the hey.
Collection of My Little Pony flashlights and My Little Pony dragon dildos, and you put them both into your holes same time.
Hang on, isn't there actually a dragon in My Little Pony? So the dragon dildos probably fit in somewhere there.
Oh dear. Catsman.
Yeah.
Everybody here. If it ever gets so bad that you find me with a wallpaper or an avatar of My Little Pony, just mail a bullet to my brain.
I think we can
just
do that.
Just smash it in there with a hammer if you have to.
But that's the thing. It's gradual. It's like a heroin addiction. You don't know that you've actually passed the point of no return until it's way behind you.
New idea.
It's
fill
exactly
my brain
like
with heroin.
Heroin addiction. It is exactly.
Fill my brain with heroin. I'd rather be addicted to heroin.
I think they're equivalent, to be honest, aren't they? Really.
At least being addicted to heroin is more publicly accepted now.
It is probably cheaper of all the merchandise you'll buy.
Heroin merchandise?
No, MLP merchandise.
New heroin fleshlight. Yeah, fuck.
Ooh, I just heard some cats having it's a fight out in the street outside my village. I want to go see now.
That's so interesting.
Is that
but
how
I won't.
Boring your town?
Great news.
Hey, Cletus, there's a couple of cats outside going at it.
Exactly like that, man.
That's almost as exciting as that black fella from the other week.
Oh my god.
I'm starting to question about where you actually live.
I live in what most people imagine Little England is like. Even though most of England isn't like that at all.
You live in the deep south equivalent of England, it seems.
There isn't really a deep south equivalent of England, is there?
There's probably a swamp or a bayou near your village, isn't there?
Wan, you know a lot about England. Is there an England equivalent to the deep south?
The closest thing is...
Wolverhampton.
Where is fuck you from again?
Where is what?
Cube from
Plymouth.
Yes, Plymouth is a dude.
I'm gonna say Wolverhampton.
Well, it's a bit funny because the further up north you get, it starts off bad up north, then you go down a little bit and you get sort of to Yorkshire and it's fine again, and then
no,
you get sort of closer
off,
to Coventry,
Dons. No,
Coventry
off,
and
Dons.
Birmingham and London, it gets worse again, and it gets fine again. So it's like a stripe of bad, good. Bad and then
don't
good
you
again.
Talk shit about Liverpool and Leeds. They're fine.
Liverpool and Leeds are fine.
Yeah,
fine,
Liverpool and Sheffield, actually. Sheffield's pretty fucking nice as well.
Oh my god. I think you've got a brain virus
you know,
if you think Sheffield,
you know Sheffield
Liverpool
has
and Leeds
the
are
lowest
fine.
Crime rate of anywhere in England.
The lowest recorded crime rate.
Well,
most of their police officers have probably been...
only be recorded.
Most of their police officers have probably been bludgeoned to death by drunken sailor.
You try going to Sheffield. It's actually really nice.
No, I won't, because I don't want to die.
It's actually genuinely really nice.
I value my life.
News. Gaming news. This gaming podcast. Come on. Get it together.
Have we mentioned GameStation wanting to sell digital goods? Yeah. Resell digital goods.
No.
I don't think we actually mentioned that yet.
Reselling of digital goods.
And dots.
Well, basically, a while ago, a European court ruled that sort of, you know, I'm bad at explaining this. I'm really bad at this. Basically, well, anyway, GameStop, they might think of looking at, you know, doing secondhand trade-ins for the digital market.
But how would that work? How would you trade in a game you'd bought on, like, PSN?
But EU court secondhand ruled that digital games can be resold.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say you can do it, and GameStop are going to be the people who are going, oh, we can make money like this.
We don't even have GameStop in this country.
They'll come over here.
But how does that even work? How do you resell a digital product?
You just take it away from their game library and give it to someone else.
That can't happen right now, though.
I understand that you can remove something from the library. So, like, I understand that Steam was thinking of doing, like, a trade-in thing where you trade in games from your library that you don't use and you get, like, some money back or, like, points or something.
Oh, really?
But how do you... Yeah. And I have a couple games. I might pander to that idea.
Buying 100 Indie Gala bundles and turning them all into cash?
The fact is that you trade it back in for a lesser value.
Yeah, but Indie Gala bundles are like bottom of the barrel, terrible games that you could buy.
On Steam?
Yeah, they activate on Steam.
Yeah. Maybe some games would be exempt from it then, like indie games. Like, it might be Valve-only games that have that or something, but like I said, this is why they haven't, you know, already gone through it and why there's problems behind the idea.
Yeah, with trading and indie bundles and shit, it's too complex an economy, Valve.
Yeah, like you can, like you say, you can go out, you can buy like 100 indie bundles for a penny each, and then you trade them all back in, but, you know, so that some games would sort of be exempt from the trade idea. But the thing, though, is like, how do you resell a digital object?
It's perfectly possible you can trade digital objects in Steam, you know.
Yeah, I understand how you can trade ownership of a product license.
But I don't see why, when it's a digital game, like, you know, you go to a game store and they're like, hey, you're buying this game, I see. Want to buy it used? It's 31p less, and this disc might be in the box. And you're like, no, I'll pass. Whereas, is anyone really going to turn down a resold digital game? And would a resold digital game even cost any less than a new digital game? And
that's,
if so, what's the point of it?
That's the whole point, is, like, an actual physical copy can have wear and tear, can be missing things, or something, so the value gets lessened over time, right? But a digital copy has nothing to devalue it. There's nothing. It's the exact same thing that you bought, and 50 years later, it'll be the exact same. Unless you're one of those creepy people who, like, vacuum seals your games when you buy them or something. I don't know.
They're called collectors.
It's a collectible!
I know like that.
Yeah, I know somebody like that, too.
He wasn't diagnosed with OCD. Everyone thought he was obsessive compulsive, but he wasn't.
But the point is that the whole idea behind reselling digital information doesn't sell. There's no resell. You're just selling it. You're just taking the license away from somebody and selling it. You're not even reselling it. Like, you're just selling some digital information to another person.
I feel if we go further with this, we'll start to get into, like, philosophy. Like, what even is the concept of ownership?
Please, no. I got, like, a B- in my fucking philosophy class, and I skipped through most of that shit.
What ending did you pick in Deus Ex?
All of them.
You're off the hook this time, Taco Man. Should we do stupid things someone said of the month?
Yay!
With Hazmat has joined us, by the way. Dear listeners at home.
Hey, Haz.
Hey, Hazmat.
The stupid thing is... Can I get a drum roll, please? It's a console game for consoles. PCs are for spreadsheets. So go on, who said this?
I already know, so I'm not going to say.
Let's see.
I'm going to say Bill Gates or Richard Branson.
Kodak.
Sir, Richard Branson.
Sir, can I just say, what are console games developed on?
Developing consoles.
Developing consoles, yeah.
I'm going to say this is about the Dark Souls PC release. But I don't know who said it.
No, it's not about the... It's not at all about the Dark Souls release. Because From stated they're... well, no, actually it could be From. Never mind, yeah.
Does anyone know what game is the game the guy's talking about, the guy? Does anyone?
Well, I'll give Dodds the point, seeing as he obviously knows. Dodds,
we've got points now.
You got 5 imaginary internet points. Spend them well. This is, of course, Phil Fish of Polytron Corporation, the large egoed creator of the perspective-changing puzzle platformer Fez. It seems that Fish has recently also acquired a change of perspective, as he now laments Fez's XBLA exclusive nature. Basically, the idea is, a recent patch for Fez fixed many glaring issues and bugs in the game, but it also caused another serious save game corruption bug that left many players without their save data. Fish says that he can't patch the patch, as Microsoft would charge us tens of thousands of dollars to recertify the game. Had Fez been released on Steam instead of XBLA, he says, the game would have been fixed 2 weeks after release at no cost to us.
Well, now you know, don't deal with fucking Xbox Live if you plan on hanging on to your shit.
I love that. It's a console game for consoles, PCs are for spreadsheets. I hope he really enjoys eating those words. I hope he really enjoys being an all-you-can-eat word buffet.
Microsoft actually gave a response to this. They said, Polytron and their investor, Trapdoor, made the decision not to work on an additional title update for Fez. Microsoft Studio chose to support this decision based on the belief that Polytron / Trapdoor were in the best position to determine what the acceptable quality level is of their game. While we do not disclose the cost of title updates, we do offer to work with Trapdoor to make sure that wasn't a blocking issue. We remain huge fans of Fez. So,
but they do still charge the money.
Hold on.
They do charge, but they don't have a specific price by the sounds of it.
Now, hold on a second, though. The whole thing, though, is here is that this patch means your save data just might go out the window at some point, right?
It means your save data will go out the window, and it's more likely the further you get into the game.
So you're saying that people will be playing this game, and at any point they could lose everything they've worked on?
Yeah.
That,
and he's not I going to... he could fix it if he paid Microsoft a couple of, you know, like... $30,000 or whatever, but he's not
going to. But he's not going to because he's already hit the peak sales probably for his product, so it's not profitable for him to do it. I'm going to just drive over to this bridge, and I'll see you guys when your time comes for you.
He continues.
Goodbye.
We already owe Microsoft a lot of money for the privilege of being on their platform. People mistakenly believe that we got paid by Microsoft for being exclusive to their platform. Nothing could be further from the truth. We pay them.
Why is...
See, this is the bit I don't get. Why would you pay them, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure on PlayStation Network, they actually, you know, sometimes even fund the development of some of their titles. Wasn't Journey funded by, like, PlayStation Network?
A little bit, I think.
I love this. I just love it. I like, well, we could release our game on another system, on like something on PC or maybe PS3. Probably not WiiWare because Nintendo can be jerks. And you know, it'll go fine. Or we could release it on XBLA and have Microsoft treat us like shit, like they do with every developer and like loads and loads of indie developers have talked about. I wonder what we should do.
I'm baffled.
I feel bad for Xbox Live community games as well. Like, every Xbox update that's come out has tried harder to hide community games away and make sure that nobody sees them and nobody uses them.
What is community games?
It's where people can put on indie games on Xbox Live and they're approved by the community. But Microsoft hates that, so they hide it away somewhere.
It's a bit closer to sort of an App Store-esque type thing.
No, not really.
It is a little bit.
Not really. Because
really
in the App
low
Store,
budget stuff and
in the App
stuff
Store,
like
Apple get the supreme decision as to whether it's going on the App Store or not. Whereas in Xbox Live Indie Games, it is actually decided kind of by the community, but not really, because it's some sort of bullshit thing to do with a number of forum posts you get in the thread for your game, and it doesn't really work properly, and loads of crap gets on there.
So pretty much Microsoft has no idea how to run indie games, and they have no heart.
I mean, time and time again, developers have said, like, Team Meat said, and Zeboid Games said, we had our game on XBLA, and in the first day of Steam, it sold like 5 times more than it did the whole time it was on XBLA. And because, I don't get why people don't seem to think that it's necessary to bother with it.
I used to think Steam was, stupid. Like, I hated it. I didn't like the idea. And then I realized it's a really good idea. It's the easiest way for a developer to get their product to the customer. And it's also on the widest platform.
And?
Like, you might not have a PS3 or an Xbox, but there's a good chance you're like 9 out of 10, you're going to have a PC
and
or a Mac.
Steam Greenlight coming soon. I'm super excited for Steam Greenlight.
What's that?
Do
go on.
It would be...
Oh, Haz, you explain it. You'll explain it better than I will.
Basically, it's community voting for what Steam allows on their platform for indie games.
So pretty much what Xbox Live does with its community games.
It's not based around shitty forum posts. It looks like it's going to make some semblance of sense, and it's going to work sort of like Steam Workshop does.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I just actually looked at some of the indie games on the website, and the first things I see is Castle Miner Z, Castle Miner, Total Miner Forge, Miner of Duty, Fortress Craft, Fortress Wars, Miner Forever. This is all on the front page, by the way.
It
just goes on.
That's amazing.
Die Dateless Dummy. Presumably that's a dating sim.
I have my cart chart. I have my vehicle keys in my hand. I'm going.
So Xbox Live Indie Games is officially
Minecraft.
Just like the Minecraft clone section.
Well, there's also Avatar Deathmatch, which the cover art is a looks like Modern Warfare cover art with a Xbox Live avatar person thing's face over top of the soldier's face.
Yeah, so there are basically no good games at all.
And there's Avatar Laser Wars using the Star Wars font.
The only one that's really, I might actually caught my eye there was DLC Quest, which, I saw a bit of, and that looked a bit interesting and took a bit of mick out the industry for DLC, but,
Castle
really,
Rider
this isn't looking that good, really.
Well, that's kind of depressing.
And that's sorted by best selling, so all the Minecraft clones are being brought.
I think if Fez came to PC now, I wouldn't buy it, just because Phil Fish is such a jerk.
He is. I hate him. I haven't seen him ever say anything actually good.
All he does is all he seems to do is like slag off other game developers and, be a jerk to his fans and say stupid shit like PCs are for spreadsheets and refuse to update his game. Even though he obviously has the money, he refuses to update it.
Looking over more Xbox Live indie games, the box art for one called Mystic Forest seems to imply tentacle rape.
Yeah, but does it really?
Well, the...
Oh, wow. It really does. It really does.
The description for the game is, this game was classified by the community with the following category scores. Violence, 3 out of 3. Sex, 3 out of 3. Mature content, 3 out of 3. Experience a sexy and mysterious adventure in the Mystic Forest.
A sexy and mysterious
adventure. Did somebody, overhear you in the background there? I just heard a what?
You heard my girlfriend.
Oh, this looks horrible. This looks terrible.
You can try the demo for free. Someone's going to have to do that and come report back to us next week or something.
Yes, please
I guess I'll stream it.
Yes, excellent. Did you find that looking at the top sellers?
Yes.
I am now talking to you all from my cell phone in my truck. I'm heading to a bridge.
You have a very...
Goodbye.
I'll be dead in 5 minutes.
Is it like an electric truck? Is that why it's so quiet?
Yes.
When did you get an electric truck?
Man, you can get an electric everything these days.
Electric cars make a really annoying buzzing sound. It's like they're trying to hump a bee or something.
I don't know. I've ridden in a couple of electric vehicles, including my own, and they seem to be really quiet.
Oh, God, no.
Like trying to hump a bee.
That's my best description of it, Katzman. Take it or leave it.
I'm taking it.
I thought my metaphors were bad.
I'll bad your metaphors in a minute if you don't. Hush, hush.
So anyway.
I think we can all agree that indie developers are mostly comprised of selfish, self-centered idiots who don't understand how the world works.
No, not at all.
And the rest of them are perverts.
There's lots of people like, you know, Pixel. Pixel's pretty amazing.
Well, okay, I said most of, not all of.
And, you know...
Pixel's a cool guy.
I would say most of them are pretty nice dudes, all things considered.
Fine, then. The ones who make shitloads of money, then. They lose their
humanity. Well, I think even Notch, he's, like, lazy and... Well, he's holiday happy and a bit socially
holiday
awkward.
I'm going to call him that from now. That's what I'm going to refer to him that.
Happy.
That is his name, Holiday Happy.
But he seems like a nice guy, to be honest.
Yeah, he does seem like an okay guy, I guess. Then again, he did say he would fund, what was it? He said he would fund fucking Psychonauts 2. By himself, and then he sort of went back on it.
That's because he's socially awkward and can't keep his mouth shut and just says the first thing that comes into his head, just blurts it out.
Yeah. So, Katzman, I just linked another game on Xbox Live. No, Luca, no. It looks like it's a game about keeping your cat away from your cereal.
I've seen that. I have seen that. I saw some a review about that, and that is exactly what it is.
It's just
and
one.
It's like, what, a dollar or something?
Hold stick right to push your cat away from your cereal.
Someone should show Peter this.
Well, hey, I mean, it's like, you know, it's what you get on the tin, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've got to go because I have to take Kelly home before I have to go to work tomorrow, so.
Okay, so long, Haz.
Bye bye.
Adios, peoples.
Bye
bye.
I think that is perhaps. The most unpretentious game I've ever seen. You know? Not trying to be anything other than a cat cereal simulator.
Luca.
My cat's name, well, he's not... Yeah, well, he's named Luca, but that's the name he came with rather than the name I gave him.
If you were to name a cat, what would you name it?
I don't know. I would probably agonize over it for a bit. He's quite fat, so I might call him Stallman.
If it was a girl, I'd call it Darjeeling. If it was a man, Earl Grey. Even if it wasn't Grey. Yes, Earl Grey. Imagine having a cat called Earl Grey. That'd be the best thing in the world.
No, it wouldn't.
I fancy an Earl Grey, then your cat jumps on your lap, and you get tea. That's the best thing in the world.
If you call a cat Earl Grey, it doesn't give you tea.
No, but you already have... If someone will make the tea for you, then it works.
None of you would ever call your cat Sir Waffle Bottom Jammy Pants III, Esquire. Take your cat to the cat park and call him by his full name. Yeah.
What about Old Boy? That's a good cat name.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie, but it's also a good name for a cat. Even when he's young, you call him Old Boy, and he feels like he seems like a badass old wise cat.
Just don't let him get any hammers.
Avatar fart. What? Why? Why, dogs? Why did you link me this?
I think this community games is just where all the shit just piles up on the, you know.
Multiplayer mode available so you can fart with a friend. Wow. I'm now standing outside of my car on the precipice of this bridge, looking into the very quiet river.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather be inside virtual farting with a friend?
Don't make me go over this rail, Katzman. My blood will be on your hands, and the hands of everyone who contributed to this fucking game. I hear this ding noise from the mumble, and I'm starting to
dread
to cringe
every time.
And dread, yes, of what horror you have found.
Trailer Park King.
Okay, that's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Because
I did like Trailer Park Boys. That
the game aspect of it.
Guys, I think I might have just found a good game. It's called Washington's Wig.
Basically, you play a dog, and George Washington goes, "Dogsworth, fetch my wig." And then you got to go deliver your wig to George Washington.
Doesn't look very good.
I just don't think you appreciate the box art.
You know, I don't think you're going to be able to find anything worse than Avatar fart.
Naming your pet something with Swerf at the end seems a little too British for George Washington.
Well, I mean, before American independence, America and Britain were basically very similar, weren't they?
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
Anyway,
victory is at hand. Is he riding a missile?
At this point, what are we meant to be talking about?
Oh.
Maybe you don't know.
I stopped paying attention since I found the polarity, which is the Xbox community games.
This podcast.
I think we started off on
even more about nothing than the last podcast.
It's not my fault. Fine. Anyone wanted to talk about the Queen and Olympics.
Sorry.
I think we hit a new low. I blame myself for this. I'll just jump over this bridge.
Gentlemen,
and as penance.
What have you been playing this week? Has anyone been playing anything interesting?
I've been playing a bunch of games.
That's a hard question.
I've been playing Onikin, and I love it, and I would recommend it to everyone. Go buy it now. Onikin. It's on Desura.
Onikin?
It's like, it's a modern indie game made in the style of an NES game, but rather than just being like one of those, retro style games that doesn't really embrace the whole idea of retro, this game is like, it's the 80s in a video game. It's 80s NES in a video game. It's 100% authentic at all times. It's really hard. It's got loads of really cool boss fights. The play control, the platforming, and the game mechanics work really well. And it's a really enjoyable, inventive game. That's pretty much the only thing I've been playing this week, I think. I mean, I played a bit of I last night. And
it was really buggy.
Like everyone else, it was just confusing and really buggy. But if it wasn't really buggy, it would have been an enjoyable game.
See, everyone I speak to says it isn't buggy for them when they tried it with their friends. It just, you know, for us, it just doesn't seem to work. Everyone I've talked to is just like, oh, it wasn't that bad for us.
I just thought it was confusing as
hell.
Really
good for me too when I played it before.
I didn't understand what the hell was going on when I was playing it. Like, at no point did I understand what I was supposed to be doing.
I don't think you're supposed to understand it. Yeah, it's just shoot stuff and head towards your objective.
No, it's not even like some sort of like, you know, too deep for you. It's just sort of the writing is so bad and so convoluted that it doesn't make sense. It's like they told a 5-year-old to write his favorite Harry Potter fan fiction, and it involved like Naruto, Dragon Age, and fucking Bill Gates.
It's not meant to make any sense. I don't think it's meant to be a coherent story that works as a whole, as a part of a video game, and is meant to enrich the experience. I think it's meant to be confusing and impenetrable and weird, and at that it has succeeded.
Well, I'm going to reinstall it, and I'm going to try again, I think, because you've piqued my interest again. I know I'm going to regret this.
I hope we can get it to work again, so we can play it more.
I've been playing, as Tucker poorly mentioned, Dragon Age Origins. I got to the Fade area in the Mage's Tower and instantly regretted my life, because it's the most boring thing ever manufactured by man.
Well, there is a titty monster, so that's sort of alright.
It's boring until you get, like, the ability to shapeshift into a golem, and then it's extremely fun, because the golem's really good.
The golem's overpowered as heck. You don't even need to use anything else once you get to the last boss. Just golem, destroy everything.
Sounds like you're saying golem, like the little skinny creepy guy from The Lord of the Rings.
But what do you say then?
Golem. Not Gaul.
I just call him Smeagol. So that makes it easier to tell difference from Gollum.
I've always pronounced, you know, Smeagol as Gollum and Golem as Golem, because it's an O.
A golem to me is...
Like you say hello, not hala.
I said a golem to me is anything that's not made out of rock. An animated creature that's not made out of rock, like a flesh golem.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Not really. Doesn't really
sometimes it does.
This is literally a case of potato potato, I suppose.
This is a stupid conversation.
Anyway, Dragon Age Origins is a game. Spend all your money on it, etc.
I bought so many fucking games during the Steam sale. I could actually talk about things for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Go on.
I think we all did.
Well, Tiny and Big, Grandpa's Leftovers.
How is that? Is that good or not?
I've been enjoying it. The soundtrack is interesting. Not bad, but not super. And the gameplay is also, it's a little different.
I saw a video of it. I like the whole cutting idea, but the platforming looked a little bit clunky.
It is clunky. I'm not very good at platforming to begin with. And then when you make a game where the platforming is clunky, it's not very intuitive. It doesn't feel very good. But on that same token, you get you get the cutter, which is the main part of the game, the whole laser thing. You can cut just about everything in the environment. Like I'd say 90% of the game you can cut shit. Then you get a grappling hook that you can only pull things with it. You can't pull yourself to things like I thought you could. And you get a rocket, so that pushes things. So you can pull, push, cut, do whatever the hell you want. And the plot line is pretty much the protagonist's grandfather passed away, but before he passed away, he gave him this special pair of underwear that supposedly holds the fate of the world. And the antagonist, Big, stole his underwear, and now he has magical laser and shooty abilities and shit. And he can fly. And he wears the underwear on his head.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
How much of the game have you played? Because from what I've seen, there didn't look like there were many levels in like the level select or something like that.
I've played maybe 3 levels. The levels themselves seem to stretch out longer and longer. Like, the first level is very, very short. The second level is much longer. And the third level is, in itself, it's a little bit of a mix between, it's like a medium kind of length. And in each level, there's a, from what I understand, in each level is, there's like a little mini game you can find, like a little bonus level. So that sort of adds to it a little bit as well. So there's maybe 7 or 8 levels, I think, but it didn't look like it was very many. And I think there's just about that much, so. You could probably blow through the game in a few hours, if anything. But I'll play it more, and I'll have, you know, a more exact opinion on it once I've beaten it. Other than that, I haven't been playing any sort of games and stuff. I've been playing L.A. Noire.
Well, L.A. Noire's not
Saints
a game.
Row. It might not be a game, but I like it. I like the whole fact that instead of, you know, like Rockstar did, like, the whole 180 and... Instead, you're the cop, and you're finding people's shit out instead of causing the shit. Like, I like playing detective. That's actually really neat, going around and being like, hey, this looks relevant to the case.
I might have bought that game, if not for the fact that it was every single live stream advert for about 3 months while I was developing the last version of the site, and I use Chrome's dev tool, so I can't skip adverts, because Chrome's ad blocker is horrible.
It is.
So I had to watch that advert like 100 times, and I got so bored of it, I wanted to gouge my own eyes out with a rusty spoon.
Well, I have a really nice bridge here if you ever get to that point again.
Rusty spoon.
Bridges will get your eyes out of your skull better, I find, especially after you hit the pavement below. But in any case, I like the whole storytelling, and you know, it mixes the whole story and stuff and action pretty well, I guess. It's an okay mix. It's a little slow at first, though.
Oh shit, I remember what I've been playing. I played the first 2 worlds of Donkey Kong Country Returns in co-op. That's right.
Listen, that's a good game.
That is a good game. Yeah. I think I mentioned it,
especially if you played the old ones
before we started the podcast officially. But it's really good.
Who did you cut with? You have friends besides me?
Yes. You know,
was it Doya?
It's that guy I'm always complaining about to you who doesn't ever come on this podcast or to the GLA.
Doya?
No, not Doya.
Doya does that too.
Oh yeah, right. Well, it's another guy who I always complain about, who you've met like once. But no, it's a fun ass game, and it's really hard. It taught me that I suck at platformers that aren't Mega Man, because I do.
Welcome to the club.
We all died like 100 times in the first level, especially those damn minecart segments. And crabs.
Minecart segments were
those
terrible.
Fucking crabs, man. I hate them. And what else? I think I prefer it to Rareware's Donkey Kong Country games. Like, I thought they were just alright. I think this one is actually better than just alright. I think it's pretty good.
I've never played it myself personally, but I did see a stream of it, and it was looking like a pretty fantastic game, just the way that everything was laid out.
There's not much you can really say about it, because it's just everything you expect from your, you know, standard Nintendo platformer.
How is it as a co-op game? Because when you co-op New Super Mario Bros. On the Wii, you end up like getting in the way of all your teammates, and you couldn't play that multiplayer really.
You see, I've played a couple now. Trine is fairly easy to fuck up what everyone else is doing and act like an asshole. New Super Mario Brothers, it's very easy and mostly encouraged to fuck up what everything else is doing and act like an asshole. And I think that's those two games' main strengths. I would say, what else have I been playing that's a co-op platformer recently? Someone help me out here. There's one other aside from Donkey Kong.
Kirby,
that's right. Kirby, it's much more difficult to fuck up what everyone else is doing. Most of the time, it's because someone is running off in front and opens a door and goes to the next area when there was like a cog in the previous area that you wanted, and you have to do the whole level again, and it's not really a fun kind of fucking things up. Donkey Kong Country Returns, it's pretty much impossible. I was very disappointed. But then again, it's a two-player co-op rather than a four-player co-op. So if you fuck things up in a two-player co-op game, you're only ever screwing stuff up for one person, and it's never really very funny.
I still want to see Happy Man stream that new Super Mario Bros.
Me too.
Same.
That was much fun.
Ask Sean instead of me.
Johnny.
I don't think, you.
Johnny! Well,
for asking you, Happy Man.
You, Happy Man.
Tonight. You.
Let us see
you better
play.
Check that turkey. Yeah, you good to have that Super Mario boy.
Isn't it time for a fan fiction segment now?
Oh yeah, boy. Yes. Do I got something for you?
Oh really? What is it?
It involves Phoenix Wright and Edgeworth from the Phoenix Wright games, with a special twist to it.
This is Untitled by Kiboto Yume. Miles Edgeworth sat in his office, looking over files for a prospective case, and findings remained focused. He blamed his difficulty on lack of sleep, even despite the fact that he changed the sheets on his bed, bought a top-of-the-line air filter, and tried going to sleep earlier. But shortly after he made those changes, he began to get stomach aches, so he went back to his old sleeping habits. Even that, however, did not stop this bizarre illness. But there was no way he was going to the hospital. After all, it wasn't though he was dying. He clicked the end of his pen once more and then felt a rather unmistakable wave of nausea hit him as he finished reading the final sentence on the page. He swallowed and flipped the page, but once he set his hand down on the desk, the nausea became far worse and Edgeworth suddenly wasn't certain he could make a run to the bathroom in time. Grabbing the trash bin next to his desk and placing it in his lap was the only thing he managed to do before he threw up the contents of that day's lunch. Truly, this was getting ridiculous. If he didn't get over this soon, he was not going to be able to take the case. Perhaps a visit to the doctor had finally become imperative. "There's something I need to tell you, Wright. I will see you at your office at 2:00 tomorrow afternoon." Phoenix Wright listened to the message on his answering machine, not expecting to receive a call from Edgeworth, especially not when the other was well aware that the defense attorney would be in his office the hour He made the call. All the same, given the slightly insecure tone of voice Edgeworth had spoken in, Phoenix was glad he would be available to see him. I know he wouldn't change the time even if I was going to be busy, though, he thought to himself. But what was wrong? Had someone else attempted to accuse Edgeworth of a crime he didn't commit? Phoenix frowned as he thought about it. He certainly hoped it wasn't the case, but if it wasn't, why would Edgeworth sound so troubled? Do you remember how I have been ill lately, right? Edgeworth asked, standing just a few feet away from the defense attorney, too anxious to sit down. I do, Phoenix answered, nodding. You told me you were too nauseous to, you know. Edgeworth looked away and loosely wrapped an arm around his middle. I went to the hospital 3 days ago and they did several tests. One of them what? Phoenix asked, pressing the other attorney and wondering in the back of his mind why the other wasn't clutching his arm like he normally would. Gave a positive result for pregnancy, Edgeworth said in a soft voice. Phoenix's jaw dropped. Pregnancy? He nearly shouted, just barely remembering where they were. You mean you're 3 months pregnant, right? Edgeworth said, finally making eye contact again. Who? Phoenix had suddenly forgotten how to form full sentences. It's yours, Edgeworth said, starting to look uncertain again. Phoenix's gaze dropped to Edgeworth's medal and he stared for what Edgeworth considered to be one of the longest moments of his life. But you're not... Edgeworth wasn't certain when he learned how to read Phoenix's mind, but he replied, It's too early for that. Don't you know anything about pregnancy? Well, not that much, actually, Phoenix admitted, a little embarrassed, and watched as Edgeworth sighed. But what are you going to do? I'm keeping it, right? Edgeworth said, acting more like his usual confident self. I'm not a murderer. Phoenix smiled, only having to think about it for a short moment. So you're having our kid? I just said I was, Edgeworth replied. Please don't ask me to repeat myself again. Still smiling, Phoenix stood up and stepped closer to the prosecuting attorney, watching as the other kept eye contact with him and stood his ground. I'm glad, he said, finally. It won't be easy, but we can do it, right? Edgeworth's eyes widened for a second before he looked to the ground and let his arm drop to his side, almost overwhelmed by the other man's honesty. Right. Not allowing Edgeworth to finish his sentence, Phoenix lifted his hand to Edgeworth's cheek and gently pressed their lips together. Moving his lips slowly and lovingly over Edgeworth's, Phoenix felt the other man gradually relax and he wrapped his arm around the prosecutor's lower back. He pulled away for a moment, and before Edgeworth could comment or even object, he said softly, I won't leave you. Upon hearing that, Edgeworth found himself smiling just the smallest bit before he rested his forehead on the other attorney's shoulder. Thank you. Suddenly, the future looked a lot brighter. Alright, there's a whopping 12 reviews for this, so let's see. Now, Walks in Shadow says, Short but sweet. One of the best smutless stories I've ever read. Little Monster Lover says, So, when's the next chapter? Volku says, Good job. Sounds similar to another fiction about Feeny getting pregs, though. Hehe. Snarry Vader 81 says, That was so cute. Smiley face. Favs. Chichi Star says, Oh, that was so sweet, X3. I loved it. So Lady Faith says, Oh, I really like this. Phoenix was so considerate and sweet after finding out. Smiley face. Tollypop13 says, I love it. I actually love the game. Update soon. Little Pidgey says, Oh, that was just so nice to read. I'm liking the hint of an Uke Edgeworth. Ludra Genova says, Oh, yay. Love it. Too short, but lovely. You make my day. I was looking for Phoenix and Miles male preg, and I found this. Omfg, love ya. I'm so damn happy. God still love me, non. I'd love if you make more chaps. I'd love to see their little baby. Yay. See ya. LMN, Ludra Mako Nate. Wolf Damon 333 says, This was awesome. I hope you either make a sequel or decide to continue this. Lamy of the Dark says, Okay. Besides the fact that the male pregnancy thing is creepy, this was well written and interesting. And finally, 51, Serview is, Oh, wow, this is the first Phoenix Wright male pregnancy fic I've ever read. And though it was short, it was way too cute. And I really recommend you to continue it. adding to Fabs.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% rambling, incoherent Olympics, not video games at all. This podcast has been nothing to do with video games. Thanks to everyone for being here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time. In the meantime, you can go to gatheryourparty.com for honest gaming journalism and lunchtime.org.uk for live streaming video games with gentlemen such as ourselves. So long.
Bye.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
As I said, I'm going to disappear now.
Have fun with Me Mario too. Brothers.
I'm going to watch stream.
I'm going to watch the stream too.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go have a shower first, though, because I haven't had that today, because I got up at 2 in the afternoon.
Disgusting.
It's because I went to bed at 6 in the morning.
Why?
Because I don't know.
You want to hear something real cool?
What?
I jogged a full kilometer.
That's nonstop. Real cool.
It is. Because I was having trouble walking a kilometer 3 weeks ago. So, yeah. I feel pretty good about myself.
The only time I do exercise is on my adventure holidays. Which, I've got one coming up. I've got, we're going to the Brecon Beacons, which is a range of mountains in Wales. And the entire holiday will be comprised of walking, cycling, and just generally moving from place to place until you're too tired to stand up and collapse in a heap.
Sounds pretty good. I used to do stuff like that.
The only time I do exercise is when I have to defend myself from my 10-year-old sister's violent assaults.
Yes, that's right. Your sister is the man of the house. I remember now.
Yeah, she decked me once. Like, I just walked outside, and she was there, just bam, across the face, and I was on the ground.
That's terrible.
Your sister kicked your ass. Wow. You got She's beat up by a 10-year-old. Wow.
On several occasions. Wow. Well, I wasn't prepared. She ambushes me.
Yeah, the element of surprise. I don't blame you, personally. The same thing would probably happen to me.